Welcome to The Ground Truth, a cybercrime magazine podcast series brought to you by ExtraHop. In this series, we'll discuss how network data helps you get to the ground source of truth for cyber attacks. ExtraHop is a cyber analytics and security provider specializing in cloud-native network detection and response for hybrid enterprises. To learn more about ExtraHop, visit extrahop.com. I'm your host, Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Here with me today is Matt Cawthorn, VP Cloud and Security Field Engineering at ExtraHop. Welcome back, Matt. It's so great to have you with us again.
Thanks. Great to be here again.
So, Matt, today we'll be talking about hybrid security. Let's first set the stage with why a business would choose a hybrid approach. What are the benefits and the drawbacks of that?
Well, that's a big question to lead off with.
Just jump on in.
So I would be very surprised if fully 90% of the listeners right now didn't have some cloud initiative mm-hmm. on their docket. And so therefore, if they've come from any, unless they were born in the cloud, which more and more folks are, but in that, therefore you already are sort of locked into this hybrid mindset. And you're thinking in terms of like rationalizing, how do I rationalize my practice or even hoist even my practice up into the context of cloud? And maybe to just spice it up a little bit, how do I do both of those things in parallel? And so from a cloud perspective and a hybrid perspective, it really does introduce, it changes the landscape and the sort of decision tree that a CISO or the sort of rank and file analyst in the practice need to, it really changes the decision tree as to like how they're going to do their thing in a way that has a lot of velocity and doesn't stand in the way of the actual journey itself. People love to talk about things in terms of a cloud journey, right? And so as you're moving into this cloud journey, there's by definition this in the Venn diagram of these overlapping, these two circles, one is terrestrial on the left and the other is cloud on the right. They're sort of converging in many cases. Sometimes they stay static, but they're often converging. And so that gray overlap area in the middle is a very, very difficult terrain to navigate for the CISO. Because one set of controls in a terrestrial data center need not apply or may not apply in the cloud or vice versa. And so now it's really sort of broadened the surface area of the attack surface, first of all. And then secondly, the actual coverage of your controls and the controls that you implement and how you implement them from a technical perspective, from a process control perspective and beyond. So anyhow, long-winded answer, but those are my thoughts on it.
And I think that's a nice segue into the next question for you, which is what are the challenges with securing a hybrid environment, which you sort of touched upon, but maybe you can expand upon a little further.
Yeah, so I recently had the good fortune of sitting with, gosh, I think it was about 7 CISO senior VP types mm-hmm. on a round table. And this was the topic. It was hybrid and the cloud journey, really. And so in a couple, well, let's see, actually one of them was cloud-born and had a very, very different worldview. And the others were at some point in their journey. Most were in the early stages, I would say, of the cloud journey. And almost none of them who were in flight as they were sort of pushing from the terrestrial service delivery world into the cloud service delivery world, they didn't have a very strong handle on what controls they were going to implement, how they were going to track the data, the types of data, where that data lived, the flow of the data, especially the sensitive stuff, obviously. And how they were going to do all of these things while DevOps as the sort of juggernaut, operational juggernaut in IT was just pedal to the metal, you know, spinning up new stuff all the time. Because it really does, like cloud, you know, I was once, and I'm going to fall on the sword here for in front of the public, you know, I was once and years ago, a little bit dismissive about like how different the public cloud was. How different could it be after all? Well, it turns out it's completely different. And in fact, it's changing at such a blistering pace that It's really hard for a traditional security practice to keep up and to do so in a way, because DevOps is so agile and the cloud is so enabling for that agility, and it's so loosely coupled, and it's so sort of, it's this sort of architectural mashup. It's really, if you think of it in these terms, it's almost like an operating system for the enterprise, for like the app delivery enterprise itself, as opposed to like the static set of assets. It's very, very malleable. And so now for the CISO, how the heck are you going to port your traditional approach up into the cloud? And how are you going to do so in a way that doesn't slow things down and sort of feed the beast of this perception, right, wrong, or indifferent, frankly, but this perception of like, well, security is the, is the, is the group of no. They're paving the road with no. You can't do this, you can't do that, risk here, risk there. And DevOps just doesn't do that. DevOps is raging on and iterating quickly. And so this is really the challenge, because now you have these sort of colliding operational paradigms. And when those two paradigms don't, you know, jive well with one another, it really puts the security practice in a bind. And the net result as a challenge is like more uncertainty, more loose coupling. What architecturally loose coupling is a wonderful idea, but from an attack surface perspective, it can cause challenges. You've got an entirely different permission scheme and access set of access patterns up in the cloud, and now you're trying to rationalize all of it, and it's really tricky, and it can be fraught with peril, and it can be, you know, it can put you into a state of analysis paralysis if you let it.
So, speaking of tricky, what should be top of mind for CISOs as they go about securing a hybrid environment?
Yeah, there's a practitioner out there who I admire a lot, and his advice is like, ask the questions that you care about the most and tackle those things first. Mm. You know, like what's the minimal set of controls that I can implement that cross the two sort of operational models in a seamless way? And let's start with those. And here, just to cast the answer in the appropriate timeline, here I'm saying someone in the earlier stages of their cloud journey, it's like, what are the minimal set of controls that will allow me to sleep at night and allow me to report to the board, you know, a sense of manageable risk? And then do those things first. And then as you start to build your operational muscle up in the cloud and get your head around how different it really is, then you can start to pull up your operational practices from the terrestrial world and the data center, traditional data center, and invoke them in the cloud. And the trick is to just do all those things, you know, changing the tires while the car is moving, as it were, right? You're doing it all in flight. That's why, like, starting with a minimalist approach. And again, I think I mentioned on the first time we spoke, the three data sources of the enterprise, right? It's endpoint, it's logs, and it's network. Cover those things first from a detection and response perspective. And you're already sort of stacking the deck in your favor. We're doing blocking and tackling. Like, what are the minimal sets of data sources that are going to give me, it's like Pareto's law. What's the 20% of technical implementation that gives me 80%+ of my coverage, detection, and response?
And so that was great. What effect did the shift to remote work caused by COVID-19 have on hybrid environments?
Well, so, you know, I'm going to fall back to the panel I was recently on, and it was really encouraging, frankly. Mm. For them, they didn't foresee the remote workforce as a big challenge. In many cases, they were, at least in a couple, they were larger, to be fair, they were larger companies, so they had a bit of a global presence. Sure. And this remote access problem space wasn't new to them. And it was simply a matter of ramping up whatever they had had. Now, in other cases, though, we've seen literal fire drill access opened up to accommodate a remote workforce in the 2020 COVID era. And in those cases, unfortunately, we've seen some pretty catastrophic effects. Specifically, you know, certain things like the remote desktop protocol being open to the internet, and there's a lot of vulnerabilities associated with doing that. Like, just no one should ever do that unless it's an emergency and you're going to turn it off like ASAP. But And unfortunately, we've seen this sort of impulse driven because of the real needs of the business. I understand. I've done these things in my past. I came from IT ops. I've had to make compromises like this before as well. And once they're in flight, it's very difficult to change them after the fact. This is one of the challenges. It's like this ratcheting effect. You build up, you accrue a little bit of technical debt by opening something up that you know probably shouldn't, it's not going to be super low risk, right? It's going to be kind of high risk, but you're going to do it anyways because people need to get their job done. Otherwise, now you're obstructing the business.
Yeah.
It's a real double bind. And I would say though, the news by and large is getting better because people are thinking about this problem and they realize that I think it's pretty unlikely that people are going to go back to the way it was, even once we get onto the off ramp, I should say, of this thing. It's not clear to me that the traditional sort of technical workforce in the corporate office is going to be quite the same. I think remote access is going to stick around for probably forever. And so this is just a net new thing that we had to learn. A friend of mine here at work said something like, COVID is this change that doesn't care, this forced change that doesn't care about your change control windows.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just there and you got to deal with it. And so now people have built the muscle around this access pattern, one would hope, especially now. And I think that it's not going to be as big an issue as it was, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Agreed. And Matt, this is a really great discussion. So thanks again for coming on and sharing your knowledge with us. Really appreciate it.
Nope, my pleasure.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. The Ground Truth is brought to you by ExtraHop, a cyber analytics and security provider specializing in cloud-native network detection and response for hybrid enterprises. To learn more about our sponsor, ExtraHop, visit extrahop.com. And you can listen to all of our podcasts at cybercrime.radio.